The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, continuing with Chapter 25, Towards the Supermental Time Vision, last paragraph, page 894. A completer opening of the psychical consciousness leads us far beyond this faculty of vision by images, and admits us not indeed to a new time consciousness, but to many ways of the triple time knowledge. The subliminal or psychic self can bring back or project itself into past states of consciousness and experience and anticipate or even, though this is less common, strongly project itself into future states of consciousness and experience. It does this by a temporary entering into or identification of its being or its power of experiencing knowledge with either permanences or representations of the past and the future that are maintained in an eternal time consciousness behind our mentality, or thrown up by the eternity of supermind into an indivisible continuity of time vision. Or it may receive the impress of these things and construct a transcriptive experience of them in the subtle ether of psychical being. Or it may call up the past from the subconscious memory where it is always latent and give it in itself a living form and a kind of renewed memorative existence. And equally, it may call up from the depths of latency, where it is already shaped in the being, and similarly form to itself and experience the future. It may, by a kind of psychical thought vision or soul intuition, not the same thing as the subtler and less concrete thought vision of the luminous intuitive intelligence, foresee or foreknow the future, or flash this soul intuition into the past that has gone behind the veil and recover it for present knowledge. It can develop a symbolic seeing, which conveys the past and the future through a vision of the powers and significances that belong to supraphysical planes, but are powerful for creation in the material universe. It can feel the intention of the divine, the mind of the gods, all things and their signs and indices that descend upon the soul and determine the complex movement of forces. It can feel, too, the movement of forces that represent or respond to the pressure, as it can perceive the presence and the action, of the beings of the mental, vital, and other worlds who concern themselves with our lives. It can gather on all hands all kinds of indications of happenings in past, present, and future time. It can receive before its sight the etheric writing, Akasha Lipi, that keeps the record of all things past, transcribes all that is in process of the present, writes out the future. All these and a multitude of other powers are concealed in our subliminal being, and with the waking of the psychical consciousness can be brought to the surface. The knowledge of our past lives, whether of past soul states or personalities or scenes, occurrences, relations with others, of the past lives of others, of the past of the world, of the future, of present things that are beyond the range of our physical senses or the reach of any means of knowledge open to the surface intelligence, the intuition, and impressions not only of physical things, but of the working of a past and present and future mind and life and soul in ourselves and others. the knowledge not only of this world, but of other worlds or planes of consciousness and their manifestations in time, and of their intervention and workings and effects on the earth and its embodied souls and their destinies, lies open to our psychical being. Because it is close to the intimations of the universal. Not engrossed only or mainly with the immediate, and not shut up into the narrow circle of the purely personal and physical experience. At the same time, these powers are subject to this disadvantage that they are not by any means free from liability to confusion and error. And especially the lower ranges and more outer workings of the psychical consciousness are subject to dangerous influences, strong illusions, misleading, perverting, and distorting suggestions and images. A purified mind and heart, and a strong and fine psychical intuition may do much to protect from perversion and error. But even the most highly developed psychical consciousness cannot be absolutely safe unless the psychical is illumined and uplifted by a higher force than itself, and touched and strengthened by the luminous intuitive mind, and that again raised towards the supramental energy of the spirit. The psychical consciousness does not derive its time knowledge from a direct living in the indivisible continuity of the spirit, and it has not to guide it a perfect intuitive discrimination or the absolute light of the higher truth consciousness. It receives its time perceptions, like the mind, only in part and detail, is open to all kinds of suggestions, and as its consequent range of truth is wider, more manifold too are its sources of error. And it is not only that which was, but that which might have been, or tried, and failed to be that comes to it out of the past. Not only that which is, but that which may be or wishes to be, that crowds on it from the present, and not only things to be, but suggestions, intuitions, visions, and images of many kinds of possibility that visit it from the future. And always, too, there's the possibility of mental constructions and mental images interfering with the true truth of things in the presentations of the psychical experience. The coming of the intimations of the subliminal self to the surface and the activity of the psychical consciousness tend to turn the mind of ignorance with which we begin, increasingly, though not perfectly, into a mind of self-forgetful knowledge, constantly illuminated with intimations and upsurgings from the inner being. Antaratman, raise from the still-concealed awareness of its whole self and infinite contents, and from the awareness, representing itself here as a sort of memory, a recalling or a bringing out, of an inherent and permanent but hidden knowledge of past, present, and future that is always carried within itself by the Eternal Spirit. But embodied as we are, and founded on the physical consciousness, the mind of ignorance still persists as a conditioning environment, an intervening power and limiting habitual force obstructing and mixing with the new formation or, even in moments of large illumination, at once a boundary wall and a strong substratum, and it imposes its incapacities and errors. And to remedy this persistence, the first necessity would seem to be the development of the power of a luminous intuitive intelligence seeing the truth of time and its happenings, as well as all other truth, by intuitive thought and sense and vision, and detecting and extruding by its native light of discernment the intrusions of misprision and error. All intuitive knowledge comes more or less directly from the light of the self-aware spirit, entering into the mind, the spirit concealed behind mind, and conscious of all in itself and in all itselves, omniscient, and capable of illumining the ignorant or the self-forgetful mind, whether by rare or constant flashes, or by a steady in-streaming light out of its omniscience. This all includes all that was, is, or will be in time, and this omniscience is not limited, impeded, or baffled by our mental division of the three times. And the idea and experience of a dead and no longer existent and ill-remembered or forgotten past, and a not yet existent and therefore unknowable future, which is so imperative for the mind in the ignorance. Accordingly, the growth of the intuitive mind can bring with it the capacity of a time knowledge, which comes to it not from outside indices, but from within the universal soul of things. Its eternal memory of the past, its unlimited holding of these things present, and its prevision, or, as it has been paradoxically but suggestively called, its memory of the future. But this capacity works at first sporadically and uncertainly, and not in an organized manner. As the force of intuitive knowledge grows, it becomes more possible to command the use of the capacity and to regularize to a certain degree its functioning and various movements. An acquired power can be established of commanding the materials and the main or the detailed knowledge of things in the triple time. But this usually forms itself as a special or abnormal power, and the normal action of the mentality, or a large part of it, remains still that of the mind of ignorance. This is obviously an imperfection and limitation, and it is only when the power takes its place as a normal and natural action of the wholly intuitivized mind that there can be said to be a perfection of the capacity of the triple time knowledge, so far as that is possible in the mental being. It is by the progressive extrusion of the ordinary action of the intelligence, the acquiring of a complete and total reliance on the intuitive self, and a consequent intuitivizing of all the parts of the mental being that the mind of ignorance can be, more successfully, if not as yet wholly, replaced by the mind of self-contained knowledge. But, and especially for this kind of knowledge, what is needed is the cessation of mental constructions built on the foundation of the mind of ignorance. The difference between the ordinary mind and the intuitive is that the former, seeking in the darkness, or at most by its own unsteady torchlight, first sees things only as they are presented in that light. And secondly, where it does not know, constructs by imagination, by uncertain inference, by others of its aids, and makeshifts things which it readily takes for truth, shadow projections, cloud edifices, unreal prolongations, deceptive anticipations, possibilities and probabilities which do duty for certitudes. The intuitive mind constructs nothing in this artificial fashion, but makes itself a receiver of the light, and allows the truth to manifest in it and organize its own constructions. But so long as there is a mixed action and the mental constructions and imaginations are allowed to operate, this passivity of the intuitive mind to the higher light, the truth light, cannot be complete or securely dominate, and there cannot, therefore, be a firm organization of the triple time knowledge. It is because of this obstruction and mixture that that power of time vision, of back sight and around sight and foresight, which sometimes marks the illuminated mind, is not only an abnormal power among others, rather than part of the very texture of the mental action, but also occasional, very partial, and marred often by an undetected intermixture or a self-substituting intervention of error. The mental constructions that interfere are mainly of two kinds. And the first and most powerfully distorting are those which proceed from the stresses of the will, claiming to see and determine, interfering with knowledge and not allowing the intuition to be passive to the truth light and its impartial and pure channel. The personal will, whether taking the shape of the emotions and the heart's wishes, or of vital desires, or of strong dynamic volitions, or the willful preferences of the intelligence, is an evident source of distortion when these try, as they usually do with success, to impose themselves on the knowledge and make us take what we desire or will for the thing that was, is, or must be. For either they prevent the true knowledge from acting, or, if it at all presents itself, they seize upon it, twist it out of shape, and make the resultant deformation a justifying basis for a mass of will-created falsehood. The personal will must either be put aside, or else its suggestions must be kept in their place until a supreme reference has been made to the higher impersonal light, and then must be sanctioned or rejected according to the truth that comes from deeper within than the mind or from higher above. But even if the personal will is held in abeyance and the mind passive for reception, it may be assailed and imposed on by suggestion from all sorts of forces and possibilities that strive in the world for realization, and come representing the things cast up by them on the stream of their will to be as the truth of past, present, or future. And if the mind lends itself to these impostor suggestions, accepts their self-valuations, does not either put them aside or refer them to the truth light, the same result of prevention or distortion of the truth is inevitable. There is a possibility of the will element being entirely excluded and the mind being made a silent and passive register of a higher luminous knowledge. And in that case, a much more accurate reception of time intuitions becomes possible. The integrality of the being demands, however, a will action, and not only an inactive knowing, and therefore the larger and more perfect remedy is to replace, progressively, the personal by a universalized will, which insists on nothing that is not securely felt by it to be an intuition, inspiration, or revelation of what must be from that higher light in which will is one with knowledge.